640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Hezbollah has just confirmed that its longtime leader Hassan Nasrallah has been killed. Israel claimed it eliminated him when it bombed a building in Beirut that was being used as the group's headquarters. Correspondent Robert Berger in Jerusalem says Israelis are welcoming the news.
If you talk to Israelis on the streets, they think that this attack was justified because for a year, Hezbollah has been firing rockets and drones across the border from Lebanon into Israel, and 60,000 Israelis have been evacuated from their homes.
The death toll in the southeast from Hurricane Helene is now 45, spread over five states. The Weather Channel meteorologist Kelly Cass says floods are making things dangerous now.
A lot of rivers came out of their banks with 1 to 2 feet of rain, and unfortunately, we still have a lot of road closures this morning in eastern Tennessee and western North Carolina, even the upstate of South Carolina, Greenville, dealing with some flooding this morning.
The Democratic presidential nominee is taking on one of the issues on which supporters of former President Donald Trump rate him the highest. CBS's Willie James Inman has that.
After touring the U.S.-Mexico border in Arizona, Vice President Kamala Harris said she would put tougher executive authorities in place as president to slow the flow of migrants.
I will do more to secure our border. To reduce illegal border crossings, I will take further action to keep the border closed between ports of entry.
Police in Georgia early this morning shot and killed a suspected burglar in a shootout at what's been called the world's biggest gun store. Smyrna, Georgia Police Chief Keith Zagonik.
Two Smyrna police officers were injured and wounded in the shooting. They were both transported to a local area hospital, where they are recovering from their injuries.
The officers are expected to make it. Inflation continued to moderate this summer, says CBS News business reporter Jason Brooks.
September consumer sentiment climbed above a reading of 70, a solid move higher from August and above market estimates, thanks to a strong gain in year-ahead business expectations. The University of Michigan says the increase in sentiment was seen across all education groups and political affiliations, with gains in all five of the survey's categories. An increasing number of consumers, however, said their view of the economy will depend on who wins the presidential election.
The news wasn't all good, though. Personal income growth slowed, as did personal spending. Well, it was 100 years ago today, September 28, 1924, that three U.S. Army planes landed in Seattle, completing the first round-the-world trip by air. It took them 175 days. This is CBS News.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Get the savings you want on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/choice5G and start saving today.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. People all over Wisconsin are talking about absentee ballot drop boxes after the mayor of Wausau decided to move one to make a political point. Mike Mohn reports.
Voting access advocates secured a victory over the summer when the Wisconsin Supreme Court reversed a near-total ban on drop boxes for absentee ballots. But this past weekend, the mayor of Wausau, a vocal opponent of the option, held a publicized event where he removed one. Sam Liebert, with All Voting is Local, feels it's an extension of those who continue to push false claims about the outcome of the 2020 presidential election.
This is just another part of a larger puzzle of continued voter suppression and trying to have fewer people vote in the upcoming November election.
The mayor defended his actions, insisting he did nothing wrong. Opponents of drop boxes claim they can be tampered with, and prohibiting them can help ensure election integrity. But election policy analysts say they are a proven safe option. All Voting is Local and other advocates called on state authorities to look into the matter. The local district attorney is pursuing an investigation. Even though the state's highest court made this voting tool legal again, local administrators still have the option to decide whether or not to place them around their communities. Liebert says those in leadership positions and the public should know how beneficial drop boxes are in giving everyone a chance to vote.
They help so many types of voters, whether they're voters with disabilities, they're third shift workers, they're single parents. All types of people benefit from having ballot drop boxes.
Earlier this month, a similar controversy arose over guidance from the Dodge County Sheriff's Office to local election clerks. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny by this afternoon. It will be breezy, a high around 71. Northeast winds at 15 to 20, gusting to 30 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 64. Sunday, partly sunny and highs around 72.
It's 57 at our studios.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Dan Davies and Craig Kennett talk about their giant spider invasion event. And
the lovable producer Connor will give a full report after watching in person the green and gold take on the purple people eaters.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
September 28th, 2024. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's still time for This Week in Waukesha, Hour 2. And it's always at this point before we turn to our guests, Alders Corey Payne, I almost called you Corey Feldman, and Alicia Helbenslaben. We've got David calling in from our booth at the Waukesha Farmers Market. David, how are you?
I'm doing fine today, Don.
What's going on there, my friend?
Oh, we got nice chilly temperatures today for everybody. Finally, the fall, it seems to be here. The fall, leaves are definitely on the ground.
Yeah, nice. What's the recipe across the way from you there, the recipe of the week? The downtown.
Oh, the recipe of the week, we got some apple and honey caramel popcorn. Now, I did not know this.
Sick.
But you apparently can make caramel directly from honey. It's
nice.
I really got to try this. It sounds absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And, of course, here at the farmer's market, we got all the ingredients you need. We got the honey. We got apples. We've got popcorn even if you want to buy some.
Nice, nice. And what are we giving away there at the booth?
Oh, the food.
No. What are we giving away there? What are the prizes? What are we spinning the wheel for today?
The prizes today. Let me take a look at these. We've got all the usual favorites. We've got everything from Lover's Lane Sushi, Sinoble. Sal's Pizza and
Sal's Famous
Bunker. I can't say that name right.
No worries. Sounds good. Well, it sounds like you have your hands full there. What's that? Hello?
Oh, yeah, no, everything's. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, sorry. You know, we got our hands a little bit full here right now.
No worries. Hey, David. Yeah, I'll let you go, and you'll call in the second half of the hour, and we'll get an update. That sound good? Sounds like a really busy day over there.
Yep.
All right.
Oh,
hey, yeah. Thanks for all that you do, David, there at the Waukesha Farmers Market, representing WAUK, my man, David. So now returning to this very full plate of the CIP, where do we leave that off? Oh, we're going to give Alder Alicia Helbenslaben a chance to respond to Corey's remarks.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess just to kind of start off, I also want to.
Oh, real quick, too. And thank you for reminding me, Mary Jane. Where can we find the CIP budget on the city website?
So it's going to be, I can actually like walk you through the process.
Thank
on
you.
The website here.
Talking to the mic, Alicia. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Just pulling up the city website here. So if you go to the city website, which is waukesha-wi.gov, there's going to be, and it depends on if you're on a computer or phone, but there's going to be like the, you know, the three little lines to
sure.
get the drop down menu.
Three little bears.
Yeah. And so you just, you know, you're going to go under government and then under departments, under finance, and you're going to get all kinds of information. There's going to be a sub menu, and that's where you're going to see city budget. That'll be the first thing. So you'll be able to pull everything up right there. And it's got multiple documents that goes back to 2018, which is very helpful. So, and you can just download it. But be warned, it's these are long, right? So I think I said earlier, it's 323 pages.
I don't want to interrupt you at all, but what about...
Talking to Mike Corey.
Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you at all, but there's also a presentation that was given by the finance director of the City of Waukesha.
Okay.
I think that there's videos of the agenda.
Okay.
And I would encourage anybody to look at
Thank
that.
You. That's key. Yep.
Yeah, you can see that also on the city website. If you go also under government, you go to Common Council, there's a link that says agendas, minutes, and you just pull up last week's or 2 weeks ago meeting.
Fair enough. Good deal. All right. So now returning to, we want to give you a chance to respond to what Corey was, his concerns about the CIP.
Sure. I want to start by saying,
and just to recap too, for those just joining us, Corey has contended that we are financially, the city's, for lack of a better term, broke, or it's tight, and that he's concerned that we're continuing to spend too much, including increases in staff compensation and maybe some other projects to kind of just wrap that up real quick or to sign it. But so go ahead, Alicia.
Sure. Yeah. So I want to start by agreeing with my colleague and
the right honorable gentleman from the 15th district.
Right. Right. I think that our new-ish city administrator is doing an amazing job.
Anthony Brown. Tony Brown.
Tony Brown is doing an amazing job. I also talked to him about the financial circumstances of the city. We had several meetings, went through multiple presentations, did like very in-depth kind of breakdowns of, you know, what is this going to mean in 1 year? What is this going to mean in 3 years? What is this going to mean in 5 years? And I think that aspect is really helpful. So not thinking just about 1 year and one moment, but thinking long-term.
Okay.
And I think it's really important to... when I'm thinking about the presentation and the information that Tony Brown provided, one of the things, you know, because I'm asking, I'm like, how do we fix the situation with the operating budget, right? Because we don't want to have to raise taxes, but even so, we can only do it by so much, right? There are levy limits, and in terms of other sources of funding, like shared revenue, it's not enough to get the job done. So it's not so much that we're broke. Our hands are tied in our ability to get more funding. And that's unfortunate. So if you're concerned about that, by the way, you should be calling your assembly rep and your state Senate rep, because those are the people that can make a difference on that. So, you know, just look that up. If you go to myvote.wi.gov, it'll give you a list of all of your representatives so you know who to call.
Yeah. And primarily in Waukesha, it's Scott Allen from the 82nd, who I know is running in November. And then it's also... in that little corner there, it's Adam Nealon. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So cool. Yeah. Give him a shout.
Yeah, absolutely. So in that sense, right, we have a really tight situation with the operating budget.
Sure.
One of the solutions that Tony was proposing when I talked to him was that we maybe do some additional investing so that we can alleviate some of the things from the, you know, from the operating budget. So things like maintenance, right? Maintenance costs are high, especially right now, especially when it's unexpected.
Yeah.
You know, materials are expensive. So if we can do a full overhaul of something, right?
Okay.
Whether that's fixing the HVAC situation at the library or getting better windows so that, you know, we're not having so much energy cost loss.
Okay.
You know, it's things like that that are going to, they feel really expensive. But when we think about it, 5 years down the line, how much money are we saving in the operating budget?
Sure.
And a lot of that gets offset. And these are things that eventually will need to happen.
Yeah.
And so that's why we spread it out. If you look at the CIP, what's interesting is, yeah, we're spending, you know, the $40 million this year, but we also have projects slotted out so that we know, all right, we're not going to do everything. If you look at the proposed versus the adopted, it's not the same. So it's not a rubber stamp. If you go to the finance meetings when they're discussing this, there's a lot of discussion and there's a lot of, you know, kind of, okay, do we really need this? Yes, we do. Do we really need that? Maybe we don't. Maybe we can push that out one more year. And I think that's what's really important. So when we're thinking about, folks paying attention and making sure that they, you know, people who want to get involved, who want to know more. It's not just watching the Common Council meeting. It's not just going to the Common Council meeting. There are all these committees, and finance is incredibly important.
Yes.
I don't have the privilge of serving on that committee, but
I was on any, it once.
Any of the alders can attend those meetings.
Sure.
And even if, you know,
any
you're
public
not
citizens can attend these meetings.
Absolutely.
And they allow for public comment just like the council meetings do.
Correct. Yep. Okay. Absolutely. Perfect. And all of those meetings are also available on video on the website. So if you're not available, you know, because you have to work or whatever, you can still watch them after.
Here's one thing I wanted to ask about with the CIP. And it's, and I gave a public comment on it once, is that one of the things I voted on was when there was a crisis over the pumping station. Originally, we had Manuka Park was chosen. City of New Berlin initially greenlighted, and then they changed their mind, and a big lawsuit ensued. But there was a settlement that included the City of New Berlin paid the City of Waukesha $1 million. And we identified another spot where the pumping station is now in the Nike missile base. And that was federal land that was donated to the city. And so the rule is if you're going to use that federal land, you have to swap adjacent land to have a park. And so we did that. We bought the Rempe Farm, which is like $1 million price tag. So it was a wash. And I thought that was great. But we haven't done anything with this 42-acre park yet. And I've traveled a lot in the last couple of years for softball tournaments. And I see other municipalities our size, maybe bigger, maybe smaller, with parks that are comparable to ours, some better, some inferior, most inferior. We got a great park system. But they are cashing in on these softball tournaments and other baseball, but girls softball in particular, women's softball, people come in, they're buying hotel rooms, they're eating at restaurants, and they're paying parks fees. And there's just a great opportunity to generate revenue. And I got to tell you, Milwaukee's a great place in the summer, Milwaukee area, Waukesha, that this should be a draw. This, why aren't we doing this? And I know, again, with the budget being what it is, we have our hands tied, but could also public-private partnerships be explored where you have some funding partners that are helping pay for the construction, for the naming and the marketing benefits, all of those things. Has there been a discussion yet on this 42-acre park space? And is it in the CIP?
Not to my knowledge. That's not to say that those conversations aren't happening, with city staff, but no.
Okay. Corey, do you know anything?
Yeah, I do. Well, we have, as a city, I say we, because I have been engaged in this for quite a while.
Sure.
I think that, it all goes back to a mismanagement, which the Common Council did approve of, the Big Top baseball program at Frame Park. And then we had that approved there.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the financing fell through. We end up going and then searching other methods. And then it was going to go to, I believe, Mindiola.
Okay.
Right?
And I remember that. Yep.
And
1 minute here, but we'll.
Yeah. Go ahead. But regardless, I do believe that we have recognized as a city that there is a lack of quality athletic department. And facilities.
I agree.
One thing that I have really tried to do is we just got the tennis courts at Lowell Park redone. We just approved another one at Prairie, I think it was.
Okay.
But regardless of the fact is the city, when it comes to economics, and it's just sad because I just noticed what they did out in Oconomowoc with that ballpark.
We're going to continue this conversation with Corey Alicia on the other side here. And Triple G is going to call it the Carol Minute here on This Week in Waukesha, WUK, 540 AM and the Civic Media app.
The Shaw, WAUK.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
In the city of Waukesha, there's a thousand things I want to say to you. And we are here talking about the Young Idea this week in Waukesha. One of my favorite songs from The Jam. We've had it on before. And I got a great jam going on right now with the Carol Minute. We have a fellow North alumnus, because, of course, we have Corey Payne here. Greg Triple G Wansnyder. Greg, how are you?
I'm well done. How are you?
Good, good. What's going on there at our state's oldest university?
Well, I've got some really exciting things to say for you. First of all, we do have a football game to get today, as you mentioned in the first hour, against the 19th ranked Wheaton Thunder.
The mighty Thunder of Wheaton, down there in the noise.
Yeah, yeah, down, definitely down there. So we want to welcome everybody to our Schneider Stadium, as you refer to it, Don. As
the Schneid. Schneid. That's Coach Buddha's nickname for it. Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Pack the Schneid, and, he always says, yeah.
At one, that's cool. That's awesome. At 1 p.m. And we actually have a free food and tailgate party before that time.
Nice.
Catered by our own Chartwell's Dining Services. That happens to be, I work for Chartwell's as the breakfast greeter. So Chairperson Vandenslaven and Alderman Payne, I hope that you'll come for some free food. And that free food, by the
you
way.
You got a thumbs up from Corey.
Campus's main lawn. And then we'll be transferring to Schneider Stadium for what hopes to be a really good game. Carroll is 1-1 right now. They had a tough loss against Washington University.
WashU, yep, at the old Olympic Field there in St. Louis, yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful campus.
Yeah. You mentioned, Don, too, our women's volleyball team, and so I wanted to say a little bit about them.
Yeah.
We want to say a congratulations, give credit where credit is due, to the team coached by Emma Mertler.
Okay.
And their Maggie Magoo just had her 1,000th dig. Now,
nice.
I want to ask, can you dig it? You know?
Yeah. Yes. I love it. Yeah. I can dig
She's
it.
Done it 1,000 times. So, and she is just a sophomore. So she's got a long time to go here. Nice. So, sophomore. Maggie Magoo, and I believe I've had breakfast with Maggie a couple of times.
Nice.
So, as you know, Don, there's not a breakfast that I forget often, or maybe that I don't forget to eat breakfast or lunch or dinner.
My man.
You know, snacks often. And then just really quick on a really positive note. So Carol's behavioral health psychology graduate students have partnered with Carol and are reaching out to students, to undergraduate students who may be dealing with a whole host of issues, anxiety, homesickness, all sorts of things. Now, these issues in the past have been dealt with by deans and things like that, but Carol has a new program that's giving these behavioral health students, these graduate school level students, the opportunity to meet with students who need it on a you know, free basis, one-on-one, just to talk things over. And so it's a great community partnership. And
nice.
As you guys know, with Carol, we try to make our partnerships great community partnerships, including partnering with the great city of Waukesha. And we always want to make that Carol Connect, as I know I'm in the ear of two older people. You know, we always are wanting to make the Carol Connect. How can we connect Carol students
yep.
to the city of Waukesha?
I love it.
And how can we make the city accessible, you know, to Carol
yep.
students, to make this a place that they'll want to live someday? So that would be my
plea
to you as all yeah. the people to, you know, definitely get – definitely, I listen and I hear a lot of the things that young people are concerned yeah. about.
Let's leverage the talent, the strengths of both.
Well, I always appreciate yeah. the Carol yeah. Community yeah. Breakfast, by the
there
way.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
They're very helpful in understanding what's going on at the school and how yeah. that might connect to the community. And with so many community leaders there, I think that's really helpful. So
that's
I hope
so great.
Those continue.
Greg, thanks so much for sharing all this great information and, of course, for all that you do for our city. And I'm looking forward to meeting up for coffee next Friday. Greg Wansnyder, thanks again. And a Waukesha North graduate, as I know Alderman Corey Payne can appreciate. And one thing Greg left out, and nothing on Greg, because this just came out yesterday. Carroll University women's golf team won the Rockford Invitational, beating Rockford University, who finished second, and local Alverno College finished third. So congrats to them and all the great things going on there at our university and here in our university city. So proud to support. And so how are we doing in time here, Max? About 3 minutes, 2 minutes?
Go Pios.
Go Pios, yeah. So, Corey, I think you were talking before the break, and it was about the CIP. Do you remember?
I do.
I don't. Go ahead. Just we'll give you a minute here to kind of
finish
that point. Yeah.
In brief, this is exactly what I believe, and
yep.
I believe that many Americans and people in the city of Waukesha believe this, is that when you're told 3 weeks prior that your financial situation is dismal,
yeah,
you don't go and approve a CIP that is second and potentially first highest in 7 years. That's just financial misconduct. And that's where I'm here, and I appreciate you having me.
Okay.
And thank you very much. I love this city. I was born and raised here. I've done a lot
sure.
to try to make this city better.
And how many and terms have I'm you at. Served now?
Four.
Four, okay.
Yep.
So since what year would that, what was your first year?
Well, I've served one fourth of my life as an alderman in the city of Waukesha.
Sounds great. Terrific. And Alicia Halbenslaven in her first term.
First term.
Well, she was elected council president, so she's another mover and a shaker here.
Yes, which I appreciate the support from my other alders for that. That's definitely been an adventure, which I appreciate.
Yeah, and really quick before we return to this, like what in you have less than probably about a minute, what is the role of council president?
So primarily it's if Mayor Riley is out, if he's on vacation or you know, has another
sick meeting,
yeah. something like that.
Yeah.
I kind of step in for him. So, you know, if he's
you're
out
like
of town.
The mayor pro tempore, if you will, at the council
kind
meetings.
Of, yeah.
You preside over the council.
Exactly.
Okay.
Whenever he leaves town, I have to hope that nothing goes wrong.
Okay. Sounds great. Terrific. And when we come back, we're going to have the second portion of our Farmers Market Report and also learn a little bit more about the committee work that Corey and Alicia are doing, as well as other specifics of the CIP that all this should be a deeper dive. And as I understand it, too, is CIP is based on a lot of feedback from the community. So we need more of us to participate in this process moving forward. So here and so much more on this beautiful Saturday morning, September 28th, you're listening to This Week in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM and the Civic Media app.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
CBS News brief, the Hezbollah militant group is now confirming its longtime leader Hassan Nasrallah has been killed in an Israeli airstrike in Beirut. Correspondent Robert Berger.
He's the undisputed leader of the group, so targeting him and taking him out is really a major blow to the organization.
Hurricane Helene is being blamed for a total of 45 deaths in five states. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
When we were doing flying over, I saw nothing but studs on some of those, just all studs. Like nothing, like some of these you see, you know, kind of destroyed, but it's still standing. No. Some of these were totally done to the bone.
Vice President Harris went to the Arizona-Mexico border, but former President Trump said it was too little, too late. Here, CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
She didn't go there for 4 years. Now today she shows up.
Trump, who's attacked Harris repeatedly on immigration, knows Arizona is key to victory in November. He lost here to President Biden 4 years ago by just 11,000 votes.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bucky heads west. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Wisconsin Badgers take on USC today as UW tries to rebound from a loss to Alabama 2 weeks ago. Head coach Luke Fickell said he expects to start making big plays the rest of the season.
The plays are there. We just got to find ways to finish. We got to find ways to understand that effort is going to overcome a lot of those things.
Kickoff today is at 2:30 p.m. You can stream the game on the free Civic Media app on WRJN, WRCE, WFHR, or WLAK, or listen on any of those stations live today. The Brewers, who are locked into the NL's third seed, defeated a potential playoff opponent, the New York Mets, 8-4 on Friday. The playoffs begin Tuesday for the Brewers in the wild card round. The Green Bay Packers play tomorrow against the Minnesota Vikings. Starting quarterback Jordan Love is listed as questionable for the game. He's missed two games with an MCL sprain. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny by this afternoon. It will be breezy, a high around 71. Northeast winds at 15 to 20, gusting to 30 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 64. Sunday, partly sunny and highs around 72.
It's 57 at our studios.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota Style 12 Grain, Multigrain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
The green and gold, tailgating the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll be back from California and be catching up on the news as well as Wisconsin events. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the taxi man drives.
You are listening to This Week in Waukesha, and that is Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus. And I play that when it's softball day. My daughter's got a tournament in Elkhorn, so I'll be flying down there. And that's one song that both teams, if it's on the air, like both girls, both teams would get up and dance. And it's like right out of like High School Music or something. It's actually pretty cool.
I think our own Corey Hartman would go up and dance with them, too.
Corey Hartman, that's right, yep.
I danced to this song a lot when I was in Germany in college.
Oh, that's right. You're telling me about that. You're in Oktoberfest, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was there in the spring, but the song came out right around the time that I left, and so it was very, very popular, and it was played constantly in the clubs when I was out.
Speaking of popular, we have David back on the line from the farmers market. What's going on, David?
Hey, Don.
Hey, what's going on, friend?
I'm just enjoying this gigantic apple. It's absolutely delicious.
It's the time for apples.
I cannot believe it. But and I'm just eyeing up the little pastry shop that has those Jane's favorite scones apiece.
Yes. The maple bacon scone. The future tagline of the Waukesha Farmers Market. Nothing says Farmers Market like maple bacon scone. I have to agree with Jane there. So terrific. Any other picks to click there today?
Oh, I'd say I think we're noticing a bit of an uptick of all the charitable organizations for the area. We got the Kiwanis Club out here this week. Got the Franciscan Peacemakers.
Love it.
They're all working to spread the word.
Best
word
soap ever.
Love St. Francis. I named my daughter after his first follower, Chiara Offerduccio, or as we know in English, St. Clair of Assisi. Good stuff.
Oh, nice.
Well, good. So, yeah. You know, you get some great deals there, so bring some cash, but also just a couple dollars will help any of those great causes. So I really appreciate you sharing that, David. And hey, I'm going to let you get back to it. Enjoy it. It's beautiful morning. Sun is really popping now. And I wish I could be there with you today. So terrific. All right. Hey, David, all the best. And thanks for all you do for WAUK at the Waukesha Farmers Market. So, yes, get over there if you have a chance. This is the time when the farmers market shines. Corey, Alicia, and I were talking during a break about our love for baseball and baseball history, and that baseball history is American history. And we refer to that quote from the recently departed James Earl Jones in Field of Dreams about baseball is America, and it makes us young again, and there's an innocence to it. And it's kind of like that with our farmers markets, too. It's a chance to go back to our agrarian heritage and taste product, produce that's made sustainably. Doesn't have to be organic as long as it's sustainable.
Is there anything better than corn on the cob, butter, salt, fresh, the good?
You're right. That sweet corn that comes out like this time. Yeah, nothing better.
I tell you.
I mean, my dad used to load up his pickup truck with stuff from work. My dad works for an agricultural co-op.
Nice.
So yeah, I mean, we always had like the best corn.
So you got to tell your dad we have the farm the farm report here 5:30 in the morning.
He's probably awake.
So, he's got to check it out. I mean, you can't be a local radio station if you don't have a farm report, and we got it. Because I used to refer to...
I listen to it all the time.
I used to refer to the farmer's market as a crop report, excuse me. Yeah, crop report. It's fantastic. Yep. So, but we have to give Alder Helvin Slabin a chance to give a final statement. She's got to run and take care of some other duties of her work. Go ahead, Alicia.
Sure.
Parting comments on the CIP and the budget.
Yeah. So I think overall we did a pretty great job. I think there was one concern, and I think it was a really valid concern about Monaca Park and the playground there, because there's another playground really close by. That isn't to say that I don't think that the playground eventually needs to be refurbished, but in terms of, just thinking about what we want to do, maybe now is not the right time for that.
Sure.
And so what I appreciate is that we had this discussion, and actually Tony Brown is going to maybe take another look at that and see if we want to amend the CIP. Yeah.
And I want to put a final comment on that too, because it's not so much, it is a revenue generator for a lot of cities, mm-hmm. and it's a great way to leverage, the parks, but it's also with me, my big complaint is that youth sports has burgeoned into this $18-19 billion industry, And it's you're paying college tuition to get your kids into sports. Like, Corey, you'd remember $25 would get you into Little League, and there's still money left over for a couple tickets after the game for a freeze pop and a soda or a chips, you know. And
$25
won't even, $25 won't even buy your socks. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. I know the business. You know I know the business.
It's the new Jim Crow. You know, I could count on one or two hands the number of children of color that played with or against my two kids when they were playing select sports in youth. The two kids that did. And that's tragic. And I want to see our parks coming up with that kind of programming where kids can play in teams and they can compete. And then also having this facility too, that I'm basing it on Ireland's Gaelic Athletic Association model, which is actually like the wealthiest nonprofit association in the world. And it's every one of these clubs at the local level have the sporting facilities, but they also have the indoor facilities that have a hospitality component. So we could be hosting weddings, birthday parties, celebrations of life, all of those things.
So you talked about, you know, where's the funding going to come from for stuff like this, right?
Yeah.
And I just want to give a shout out. First of all, I want to thank all of the city staff who worked on the CIP and put this all together for us. There's a lot of information in there that they have to bring all together for us. So first of all, shout out to that. But I also want to give a shout out to city staff who approach people for private, you know, public-private partnerships so that we can get sponsorships for different things, right?
Yeah.
So we just had Oktoberfest last weekend. A lot of private companies, you know, investing and sponsoring that.
Waukesha State Bank had a big presence at the North Homecoming game because they recognized the 50-year anniversary of the importance to the community.
Absolutely. They've always done a great job.
Yeah. And Ty Taylor was there.
So, and, you know, so like a lot of these programs that we talk about, things that people really love about Waukesha, a lot of it does take that public-private partnership and these sponsorships from different companies in the area. And it's always nice to see all of the local companies reinvesting in the community.
Yes.
So I guess my ask would be to anybody who makes those decisions for some of these private companies is, if you're interested, we have a lot of opportunities. There's so many ways that you can get involved and help us. So
we should get involved. It's your future. It's your children's future.
Absolutely.
And it's a great city with a great history.
Alleviate some of that pressure that we're feeling. Yeah. So absolutely, please reach out to us.
Takes a village to make a city.
So that's
to raise
that's
a child.
My last 2 cents.
Thanks so much. Hey, Alicia, before you go, can you tell us who Theodora Yeomans was?
She was a suffragette. Right. And she was like one of the first
president of the Wisconsin suffragettes movement.
Yeah.
And one of the big reasons why Wisconsin was the first state to ratify the 19th Amendment.
And they still have a lot of really great stuff at the Historical Society.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is about her.
Yeah.
And they did the whole big thing right a few years ago.
And what we don't remember, what people don't see in the is women spilled a lot of blood to get that right to vote.
Literally.
And so that's why it's important to get out there and vote and exercise your right, male or female. And then for a lot of like different immigrant communities like my own, same thing. We spilled a lot of blood to get certain levels of equality that we enjoy here. And so same thing is we got to get out there and exercise our right to vote. So
absolutely.
Alder Alicia Helvenslaven, the Right Honorable Gentlelady from the 11th District and Council President. Thanks so much for joining us this morning and enjoy this beautiful Saturday. Give my best to Kevin, if I can say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all the best to you. We look forward to reconnecting soon.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Corey.
You got it.
Great conversation today.
Absolutely.
Again, I'm joined by the mighty Max Martinson on the board, who mentioned his dad, Corey Hartman, and his love of music, his love of singing Miley Cyrus. So
just that song specifically.
We'll have to get Corey. I'll have to get him on the show to do a little sing of that. So now we'd be remiss if I didn't. Here in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, we are, as always, rejoined by our resident counsel legal expert, James Santel, retired U.S. attorney. And his show, Amicus, a law review, as I affectionately call Atticus, is on at 9, goes 9 to 11. And some really great discussions on the developing law here in our country and how it affects us. So stick around for Jim Santel when we're done here. Hey, I also want to do a shout out. You're still here, Corey. Don't go away.
Okay.
I also want to give a shout out to Pete Schwab, whose show Nightlife is on every night from 8 to 10. And, Pete had Charo on our show like a couple nights, and I missed it. I was really bummed. For those of us old enough to remember, she was like one of the big stars of the 70s, and I guess she was giving a concert. Yeah, Corey remembers. Yeah. So how cool would that have been? Some great history there. But, yeah, Pete has great guests, a lot of Wisconsin pop culture, and so I highly encourage you to check out his show. I'm hoping to get another interview with him as some exciting things are going on with my show here in the coming weeks. So, but definitely check out Pete Schwab. I believe he's on all the Civic Media stations, 8 to 10, Monday through Friday. So, returning with Corey Payne, before we get back into the CIP, Corey, one of my followers asked a question about, you'd mentioned earlier in the show about that there's, I don't know if it's the council members or staff, that they don't live in Waukesha. Is that correct? What do you mean by that?
Actually, that's not what I...
Okay.
So, point of clarification.
Thanks.
Okay, is, no, people that, I believe in order to have a true belief in the heartbeat of the city, you need to be here a little longer than a couple of years until you can represent your district.
So there's some carpetbaggers here is what you're saying.
And most of them are from Illinois. No, I'm just
Illinois. Yeah. Illinois. Like Joe Piper from the 4th?
Yeah, no.
Only kidding, Joe.
No, only kidding, Joe. No, but that's what I mean. And I have the rare ability, thank the Lord, that I represent a district where I literally grew up in, played in houses, played in yards, went to every school you can think of that's all represented in my district.
Yeah.
And I care, and I love my district. And nobody can take that from me, and I love Waukesha. And that's what it is, Don. That's what it is.
Sure.
And I'm seeing people that are coming into the city and they're voting and not in the best interest of what the real taxpayers that built this city want. And that's facts. There's been Mexicans in this city for 150 years. There's been black people in this city for 150 years. Okay. I don't care anything about that. Democrat, Republican. The city is overstretched the bounds, and it's time to bring it back. And that's where I'm at. That's what
you're
I got
advocating
for
more fiscal responsibility or stewardship is basically
what
you're
like. Like I told you, when you get a financial report that says that you're broke, you don't go and spend more money.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened. And I would challenge anybody to debate me at any single time. And so they won't win. They won't win. So and it's
Corey,
a fact.
So Corey, let me ask though, for those listening, what can they do about it?
Number one thing is exactly what I did many years ago. Take interest in your society.
Okay.
Take interest in your community.
Thank you.
Become the best you can be and pick up the garbage on the street when you see it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? When you see somebody doing something wrong, call.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Take ownership in your community.
Call your alders?
Call your alders.
Now, what about there are some alders that just historically don't return calls or they're very inaccessible? What's your way around that? Public comment, maybe? Come to city council and give a public comment?
Well, there's only on there one way.
Call
that
them out.
And the vote, right?
And the vote, yes. We need more people running for office.
Well, and then that's one thing I'm glad that you brought up, Don, is most of the people on the common council have been either ran unopposed, and it's not because of their popularity, because nobody's even taking interest in them.
Oh, yeah. No, there's, yeah. Yep, no doubt.
And you know that. We've had these conversations.
I mean, a city of 70,000 people where the districts have like
it's
an average of like
it's sad.
2,000 registered voters, you'll have like less than 1,000.
It's sad.
And that's charitable. It's actually less than that.
100%.
Yeah.
It's sad.
So, yep.
And you can't complain in April that your government is failing you when you don't act in November.
We are a government of the people at the local
from
level,
the ground,
state level.
From the ground up.
Yeah.
From the ground up. And that's, I mean, I could go deep into it, but I am a true believer, 155%.
Sure.
You start, this government is from the ground up, not from the up down. And I'll fight for that
until
the day I die.
No, I couldn't agree with you more, Corey. And, when we come back, we're going to talk about Corey's relationships with other legislators, especially those that represent his districts, and what he'd like to see for the CIP and for the future of the city. And so much more on this beautiful Saturday morning, September 28th, 2024, in the beautiful Shaw. You're listening to This Week in Waukesha on WAUK, 5:40 a.m. And don't forget the Civic Media app. And thanks again to James Centel for these beautiful eclairs.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
October 12th and 13th is Waukesha Unlocked. The doors to more than 80 businesses, restaurants, and churches will be unlocked to highlight the city's architecture, history, and behind-the-scenes operations. Tour the city clean water plant or booster pumping station. On Saturday, Bill Quackenbush talks about the history of the Ho-Chunk Nation and the significance of the mounds at Cutler Park. Don't forget to turn in your trail challenge cards at City Hall to be put into a drawing for great prizes. Visit Waukesha Unlocked headquarters at City Hall between 10 and 4 on Saturday or Sunday for more information.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Waukesha, and that's one of my favorites from one of the great albums of all time, Who's Next, The Who, and Bob O'Reilly, or some people, more popularly known as Teenage Wasteland, but the really cool people know it by its real name, and that is an ode to my best childhood friend, who has had a really successful career in facilities operations at Harvard University, responsible for many of the great renovations, as well as ground-up building projects, museums, performing arts centers, and happy birthday to you, Min. And that was one of our favorite songs from our youth, teenage way. Bob O'Reilly.
Yeah. It's a great song.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny because rock and roll, like guitar here in the land of Les Paul, is such a big part of it. But that song, it's that synthesizer that's driving it. And yeah, yeah, Corey just did the swinging Pete Townsend guitar. But yep. So I had to hear that.
So where are you at? I mean, you got, you know, obviously Beatles, right?
You love Beatles, yeah.
You got
huge
the Stones.
Fan. Zeppelin is up there too in my top two or three.
Oh yeah,
love Led Zeppelin.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Stones, of course. Yeah, you'd be. I came to appreciate the Stones. Now, growing up in Buffalo, which is a rock and roll city.
Oh yeah, yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of people in the late '70s felt betrayed by the Stones because that Some Girls album had some big disco influences, and everyone thought the Stones had sold out. But they moved to Chicago, okay. A great blues town.
Yep.
And they really got to.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, well, Muddy Waters and everything. Oh yeah.
Well, the Stones, Mick Jagger, and those, they would go to Blues Fest as fans.
Oh yeah.
And they'd get into those South Side.
They were
bars where, you know, the real Blues Fest was after the fest, the late nights, and they would let Mick Jagger in there.
Yep.
You know, and those guys were paying homage to their heroes, their messiahs, if you will, or prophets.
But you know,
and so Stones were very heavily influenced by
absolutely.
Blues.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look.
Charlie Watts, the drummer, was a strict R&B man.
But yeah. George Harrison. All
Harrison's
of them,
another great one, yeah.
I mean, they would always say. They would always.
Did you ever see that the guy from Lord of the Rings, Peter, whatever his name is, Peter Jackson was, did this whole thing on the Beatles?
Well, he did the whole thing, yeah, though. Yeah.
On the Disney Channel.
Yep.
And
but he used brand new technology. But that was never used before.
Contrary to popular belief, it was George that left the band first. He left the band for a couple of days. And one of the reasons why, and Paul McCartney described this, was that
he wasn't allowed
out there in the world, people genuflected to him, like the Byrds, Levon Helm, and the band.
Yep.
Like they thought he was like. But then when he came back to Apple Records, he was like the little brother.
And he was the first Beatle to have a number one record.
Yeah, as a solo artist.
As a solo artist.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
George Harrison is honestly one of my most favorite artists of all time.
Me too, yeah, yep. I got to play him in a movie. The Beatles again. It was a guy was working on a project for his master's at the University of Buffalo School of Film, and I got to be George Harrison. That to me was a trip, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nope.
Because all we did was just air, you know, just play.
But everybody, I'm so glad. I mean, you know, get off the politics and stuff like that for a minute. But it's just, it's incredible because I know, I've known you for years, and it does, that makes me feel really happy in my heart because a lot of people don't know that. Right away, they want to blame Paul. They want to blame John.
John and Yoko. Yep. Yep. So
George said, I'm out of here.
Yeah. And then eventually, you know, like you had four.
And he had a great career.
Yeah. Well, you know, and a lot of them had great solo careers. You know, Paul, and you know, it's too bad John's life was taken. So for a couple of reasons. One is that things had been really turning around for him in his personal life. His relationship with his wife.
Getting clean.
His son,
he was getting sober. He was doing
him and Paul were actually reunited. And there was talk about a future Beatles project. And unfortunately, that didn't. And I was like in eighth grade when that happened. And that really was a.
That would have changed the world.
It really would have had a real amazing impact. But, you know, and those guys were in their 20s and 30s when they did all that. Like, the impact they had in those, like,
imagine
10 years.
That being 17, insane. 18, 19 years old and having the world at your hands.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
But they struggled. You know, there were a lot of years they were playing those clubs out in Hamburg, Germany.
Yep.
And, like, they were Liverpool boys. They are Irish heritage too. People forget Liverpool is the capital of Ireland.
Well,
Liverpool was kind of like the dregs of the UK. You know, it was like that was the but yep. those guys.
You're 100% correct.
Yeah.
No, but just bring it back full circle real quick. Is everybody always has that right? That debate. You know, is it the Stones? Is it the Beatles? Blah blah blah.
They're all great. Yeah.
They're all
and they're friends.
Great.
Media kind of made that into this bitter rivalry, but. The Beatles lent them songs to help get them. Like,
you're 100% right. They wrote almost
down,
half
I'm down,
of it.
Yeah,
they
like,
almost
yeah.
ran. I think it was the Stones' second album. Correct me if I'm wrong here. But half of the music on the second album was written by John and Paul.
It could have been it, yeah. And you know, and that Let It Bleed album was an ode to the Beatles.
Yeah,
Stones did. But
yeah.
there's a great
beautiful music
when they did "All You Need Is Love."
Yep.
And they kind of in the days before video, they made a video and it had included like Marianne Faithfull and all these. And Mick Jagger was in there, too, like singing along.
Yeah. No, it's so. Just beautiful. Great music. And I'm glad that we were blessed with it.
Yeah.
I'm because without that music, we never would have.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine that.
So, Corey, unfortunately, we have 2 minutes left and I didn't get to Neil Diamond. So you got to come back in the show. So we'll play it for you. But what is it you want people to know about the CIP and about the future that we haven't talked about already? What can they do?
We need to hold our elected officials fiscally responsible. There's many ways that we can do that. And I hope that everybody is paying attention right now. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone gets big. Everyone gets little. But we have to come together and believe in each other. There you go. And we need to come together and we need to realize that the government doesn't work without us. Okay.
Yeah.
My friends, my people of all generations, of all ages, races, I don't care. We need to come together. This is ridiculous. We're losing our democracy. We're losing everything right now. And thank you very much for everything. This morning has been a great morning. God bless you. Cool.
15th District Alderman Corey Payne, 11th District Alder and Council President Alicia Halbenslaven, thanks so much for joining me in this morning and in this very lively discussion, important discussion. Please contact your alders, express your concerns, look up the CIP. And thanks again for joining us. Don't forget, James Centella is on next with Atticus. Terry Thieme, County Supervisor, will be my guest next week to talk about some tax issues at the county level. And please remember on this beautiful Saturday, safety is everyone's responsibility. Good mental health is everyone's responsibility. Gora Mila Mahagav Galer, and see ya!
Listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on air.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, State Senator Kelderoy's on how Republicans just keep digging a bigger hole when it comes to women's reproductive health care rights.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
At Fleet Farm, we know every opening day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered.
Everyday hunting gear from Winchester, Remington, and Bear. Everyday fishing gear from Daiwa, St. Croix, and Rapala. Everyday yard cleanup from Scott's, Fiskars, and Agri-Fab. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.